told you to go, and Lee and I were in Indianapolis as we drove to Columbus for whatever reasons, sports and things like that. And I saw the skyline of Columbus at a distance as we drove. I thought, that's a nice church. I wouldn't mind being the pastor of Columbus. I didn't tell anybody. It's a good thing I didn't, but they would have found out I might not have been as loving as they thought. But nevertheless, we are glad that we have come back to Columbus. It's been very, very nice. I have to get used to Mr. Hopkins' talk, but other than that, it's been a really, really, really nice time. Well, we've congratulated everybody for all the good things we have, so I don't have anybody else to congratulate except the flowers, and I'd like to say they are very, very attractive and pretty and add to this. Excuse me just a moment. It was a very good meal. Well, in a few hours, the days of unleavened bread will be over for another year, and we can go back to fast food. We can go back to waffles with plenty of syrup on them. We can go back to pastries. We can go back to donuts and bagels and pies and cakes and all of those good stuff. It's a good thing that we don't have to go through this all year long, isn't it? Because that would be a rough time. We are free for another year at least to the days of unleavened bread. We've been different for 7 days. We may not think about it that way, but some who don't really know anything about God's law, or holy days especially, look on things like this as weird. Unleavened bread. Why that? So, in the eyes of some, who knows how many, we have been weird for 7 days. So, now, after the sunset today, we don't have to be weird anymore. We don't have to eat the unleavened bread. Why did we do this in the first place? Why do we put up with the days of unleavened bread? Why do we just eat unleavened bread during these 7 days rather than snitching a little bit on the side and eating whatever we want to? After all, it's just a tradition, isn't it? It's just a part of religion. What difference does it make? I have several reasons why we, as was said, love God's law, including the days of unleavened bread. I won't tell you how many I have, because then you'll count them, 1, 2, 3, wonder how many I've got. So you won't know how many I do have until I actually get to it. But I have some reasons or principles as to why we keep the days of unleavened bread and why we keep it every year. Many of us are getting older, and we jokingly, but not so jokingly at times, talk to our friends about, I'm having to think a little bit before I can say what I want to say, because the mind is getting a little more and more weak. So, that being the case, we have to be reminded more and more and more and more about what we need to be doing. Well, God is aware of that, and as a loving God, He has given us these days of unleavened bread for a particular reason, and we just sang about it. The first reason that we keep today is that it reminds us of God's laws. Now, there are all kinds of laws all over the world. Men have made laws, and you can lose your life if you don't follow the laws of men sometimes. But God has a set of laws that are perfect. No one has anything any better for human beings than God has. And after you've been in the Church of God for a long time, and you've been living by and loving God's laws, just as we sang, "Oh, how I love your law." Well, was that just a song we sang to sing a song, or do we really give our heart to that song when we sing it? "I love God's law," we should be able to say to ourselves, not, "Well, I'm in the church, so I got to keep it." This reminds us of God's laws. To show you that, let's go to Exodus 13. I know it's in the Old Testament, but it still has, it's a wonderful principle. Exodus 13 and verse 3, you will see that in verse 3, Moses said to the people, "Remember this day," and he'd been talking about the beginning of that period of time and the holy day, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt." Now, none of us have ever been slaves in Egypt, and so we wouldn't be thrilled to death to get out of it. Dilly and I went to Egypt after the Feast of Tabernacles in 87, I believe it was, and I was glad to see it, but I was glad to get out of Egypt. I really was. Nothing against them, but I just love America more than I did that. He said, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt out of bondage." So you will find that in going out of bondage out of Egypt, there was the involvement of unleavened bread to them. And then in verse 5, he said, "When God brings you into this land of the Canaanites, the one which he swore to our forefathers to give them, when you get to this land flowing with milk and honey," and we certainly have lived in a nation that's flowed with milk and honey. I'm not sure how much it's flowing now, but it has, "that you shall keep this service in this month." And then he lists it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. You're going to a land that flows with milk and honey, and you eat unleavened bread before you get there? Sounds strange. "On the seventh day, then you're to have a feast." And again in verse 7, he said, "Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days." In case we didn't understand the first time he said it a second time so we could get the point. Then he said a third time, "No leavened bread shall be seen among you." Emphasis, emphasis, emphasis. "Nor shall be leaven shall be seen among you in all your quarters," or whatever property belongs to you. In other words, God said to Israel, "When you get there, you will need some guidelines on how to live in the land. You will need some good guidelines, because you will be living among many, many people who don't know these guidelines, and they will influence you," which of course they did. They still are. So it all involved, for whatever reason they may have thought, God knew why, days of unleavened bread. Why in the world did God do this for us, to give us guidelines that would make life so very interesting and enjoyable and wonderful? Well, in verse 8, he said to their sons and children, because the children, who not being adults and who didn't follow it to begin with, they followed their parents, when they say, "Well, Dad, why can't I have some whatever in these days of unleavened bread? Why do I have to eat exclusively unleavened bread?" Then you're to tell your son or daughter or children, saying, "This is done because of what the Eternal, the Almighty, our loving Father did for us when we came out of Egypt." And then he said in verse 9, "It'll be as a sign to you on your hand." Now, we don't have anything on our hand, I jokingly said. I heard that one contractor once said, or once had it written on his hand so he could remember that, and he would always remember, what am I supposed to be doing? He put UB on his hand, and then he could remember what he was supposed to be remembering. So it was to be a sign to you on your hand, and it is to be a memorial between your eyes. Or in other words, that's where our brain is. We are to remember these things. Remember what things? Well, he said, you are to remember that the Lord's law, not the Egyptian law, not their own law, not Muhammad's law, but God's law, the eternal God, that God's law may be in your mouth. Now, not that that's the only thing you'd ever speak about, talk about, but it would be something that would be in your mind and in your life. It is a memorial, or it is something that helps us to remember God's law. What's the big problem in the world today? They're not following God's law. It doesn't bother many people to kill other people. It doesn't bother many people to commit adultery. It doesn't bother people to tell a lie. It doesn't bother, it doesn't bother, it doesn't bother. You can go down and state all those things. It doesn't bother them to break God's law. They don't know any better. But we know God's law, and we have a very good life because of it. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, you will find that God said something to Israel that was a little hard to believe in a sense, and it was mentioned this morning, I believe, either in the sermonette or the announcement, that in Exodus 19 and verse 5, God said to Israel, ex-slaves, if you will indeed obey my voice or do what I tell you, we used to call that, if you will listen to me and be, allow me to be an authority over you, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant or agreement, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. That's amazing. They'd just come out of Egypt, or were going to get out of Egypt, and they would be a special treasure to God, and it would be above all people. Who wouldn't like to have that contract made and look forward to being a special something? Some people have low self-esteem because they think there's nothing special about me. Some people think I'll never get married because there's nothing special about me. Other people just think there's nothing special about them, and they moan and weep and groan inside because there's nothing special. But God promised to those who listen to his guidelines and live by his guidelines that they will become something that is very, very special. And we are, you just don't know it. There is something special about the Church of God. They truly do know how to live, and they have many good traits, qualities, and characteristics. Those who follow God's laws know who the true God is. Jesus said, by knowing the true God, you will be able to gain eternal life. Meaning, on the other side of that statement, if you don't know who the true God is, how in the world are you going to find someone to give you eternal life? You won't. So by knowing and worshiping and living by the laws of the true God and knowing the true God, there's something special about that individual. They know the true God. And they begin to live by the qualities of this true God. They don't fall down before a carved image and call it God, but there are many people in the world that do. They don't curse and swear, at least not in public. They don't take God's name in vain. And You may like an individual who cusses and swears, and I've told you about my nephew and his father, that it was just cuss words all day long, every other sentence, it seems like. And I liked them, but there wasn't anything special. And I really didn't care to be around them all day long, having to listen to that. But a person who knows how to speak and speaks well and doesn't curse and swear, kind of special. And you would be more easily wanting to talk to them or listen to them or to be around them because they have a clean mouth. You certainly wouldn't want your children to be in their presence all the time in a dirty, filthy mouth like that. So there is something special about us in that we don't take God's name in vain. We don't curse and swear. We just talk. We've learned how to talk, and talk we do. We do talk, and that's good. Those who know God's law have set aside a day to rest and refresh their life and to think about what life is all about. They take time out. More and more, it says, those who really want to succeed, they'll work 24/7. Well, there is some truth in that. Yes, there is, physically speaking. But as far as life and having the best of life and being an example to people, sooner or later they're going to wear themselves out. Those who keep the Sabbath, the seventh day, have learned how to rest and how to be refreshed. Those who love God's law honor their parents, even if they're not honorable. That's the parent's problem. It's not the child's problem. That's the parent's problem if they're not honorable. But it says we are to honor our father and mother. One of the reasons, and the main reason, is they gave us life. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. There never would have been a Vernon Hargrove if Joseph and not... what was my mother's name? Ina. If Joe and Ina had not been, Vernon never would have been. Now, I never ask if I was planned, because I'm the eighth of nine. I never ask if I was planned, and I never ask if they wanted me, but I was happy to be their son because life's pretty good. So honor the parents. Lots of parents don't know how to be honorable, and they wonder why the children don't treat them any better than they do, but it could be because they're not honorable, but the child is not honoring them. So if they are being honored, they're probably a special child for that. One who loves God's law and is a special person will not be killing another person. You won't be taking knives into a school place and just slashing people. You will not be murdering people just to see them die. But there are many of those in the world today who do that. They murder just to murder, deliberately, to see them suffer. Those who love God's law and are special people will not be committing adultery and ruining a life and ruining a family and ruining children's lives because of divorce and because of who knows what else. Those who are worshiping the true God and living by God's law and love God's law will not be stealing you blind. Many of us leave our house, well, maybe not so much today, but when our two sons grew up, we left money all over, well, not all over, we didn't have that much, but we left money in various places in the house, and the boys never took it. They have gotten that way now that they're not all that careful about where they put their money because they grew up that way. So stealing, it's commonplace. No one thinks much about it. Just snitch it, go on. Nobody saw you. It's not going to hurt anybody. But it is hurting our character. And by not stealing, we are developing a character that people enjoy to be around. They're not afraid to leave things in your presence because they know when they leave, it'll still be there. Those who love God's law and are desirable people or wonderful people or special people work hard to produce things for themselves so they don't have to lust and covet after it and cry and weep because they don't have it. They are a working person and they produce. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4, beginning in verse 1. A little bit more about this. Why we keep the days of unleavened bread. And is it just a ritual? Or is it something that is a very wonderful guideline and keeps us out of all kinds of trouble just by eating unleavened bread for 7 days once a year during the days of unleavened bread period? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 1. I don't remember if this is God speaking or Moses speaking on God's behalf, but it says, "And now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe." Listen to them, he said. And of course, one of the statutes and judgments is the holy days, and one of the holy days is the days of unleavened bread. "The statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, so that you may live." Live and go in and possess this land. Well, we're not going in to possess a land, but we do want to live and we want to enjoy life. And it is sad to see a person made in God's image who doesn't even want to live, who have a sad life, and they just don't enjoy life. But this says, if we listen to God's judgments, which he will teach us free of charge, and if we will observe them, we can have a very, very good life. In verse 5 he said, "I've taught you these statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, so that you should act according to them in the land which you go. Therefore," he said, "be very careful to observe them." And then he adds something. Just by observing this statute, he said, "this will be your wisdom and your understanding. You will be able to make decisions and choices, and you will understand things that others who don't have this knowledge, who don't keep the days of unleavened bread, they don't have in the same way we have. And it's been given to us by a loving God. This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Wow, what a nation, how wise it is, how understanding are these people.' They also say, 'What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us?' And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in this law which I set before you this day?" Those who are following God's laws are setting an example for the rest of the world's nations to follow. And someday they will, and they'll understand why. Presently, we're a little weird. But we can handle that. We know we're not weird. We know we're not stupid and strange. We just live by some different guidelines, that's all. There is another one in Deuteronomy 31. I'd just like to read one verse here that I don't know that we do this, but maybe we could talk about it at the Feast of Tabernacles, because it says in Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 10, it had said in verse 9 that Moses wrote this law, delivered it to the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant, And then in verse 10, Moses commanded them, the priests and the Levites, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, when they released them from debt and released them from certain things, at the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles is about nations that will be in the kingdom of God. Tabernacle is a temporary place looking forward to the kingdom of God. And it said we are to read these laws at the Feast of Tabernacles to remind us of how wonderful it will be. And I was happy. I was wondering, now, how can I fit this in here? I didn't. In the beginning, about loving God's law. And you sang the song. So I must be good that we're on the same wavelength, that you love the law. We all love the law. And it was a beautiful song. The law of God is the best group of guidelines that's ever been invented and saves us all kinds of trouble. To read a little bit on the backside of this, let's go to Romans 6 and verse 23, and we'll see how important these laws are and how wonderful they can be and what they save us from suffering from. Romans 6, you know this, it's the long time old verse. Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul was talking to those in Rome about the aspects of life. And he said in chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin. Now we know that sin is the transgression of God's law. And it said there's a wage for it. Meaning, you get paid for what you did. Now, you may not like the wage they pay, but the wages of sin is notoriety. No, death. One of the problems in divorce and remarriage today is that we still believe that it should be, but we don't have the death penalty in the Church of God. The perpetrator was put to death. That solved the problem. You didn't have people going around looking for another one to get married to right after they had committed adultery, which would decimate a marriage. The wages of sin is death. So there are results from having wrong rules, wrong laws, wrong whatever to guide our life. We can mess up our life in a hurry if we don't live by the proper rules and regulations and the laws of God to show us what those are and should be. So it said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God will be an eternal life with Jesus Christ and ultimately God the Father. And then he says I'll get to that later. The laws of God remind us of how life can be and should be very, very, very good. If we live by those, you can believe that you will have a good life. Now, I know it doesn't mean it will be a perfect life and there won't be some difficulties, but in contrast to all that's going on in this society, in the world, you will have a good life. And who among us doesn't want to have a good life? Would you say, nah, I don't want to enjoy life. I hate life. I don't want to live. Well, if you live by God's laws properly, then you will enjoy it very much. So that's the first reason. Do you want to hear a second? A second reason why the days of unleavened bread, picturing living by God's laws, is a good guideline. Once these 7 days are over, do we pretty quickly forget that we are different? because we realize we're different during the days of unleavened bread. But once they're over, do we just forget it and go our way and do what we want to do? Do we, and I include myself, do we relax, go back to the old way and blend in? That has been done. There were those who heard in 95 that they didn't have to keep the Sabbath, the holy days. They didn't have to live by God's laws as they had been taught, we were taught. And they couldn't wait to get back to the way they used to live. Excuse me. One man said, I was told this by another man in the church recently, a man that they respected and looked up to and seemed to be a stalwart individual in the Church of God at that time said, when he heard they didn't have to keep the Sabbath and the holy days, well, I never did believe that anyway. Say what? You live by the Sabbath and the holy days for years and you never believed it? How dumb can that be? So, one of the reasons for keeping the days of unleavened bread is to remind us of that every year, every year, every year, so that we don't get relaxed and go back to the old way. Have we forgotten that we are supposed to be a new person? A new person. Let's look in Romans 7 and verse 1. Do you not know, the Apostle Paul said, and he called them brothers, sisters, I speak to those who know the law. He wasn't talking to people outside the church, but those that knew the law. I speak to those who know the law that the law has dominion over a man, woman, as long as they live. So after we have eaten during the days of unleavened bread, is it over the next day and the law of God is nothing to worry about after that? No, this is just a reminder. And it gives the guideline of, and it could mean the man too. A woman as a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. It would be the same, the man to the woman. But if they die, then they're released. Now, there are the exception clauses Jesus gave. But in general, when we marry, that is for life. That's one of God's laws. And how wonderful the world would be if there never was a divorce. How wonderful it would be. Let's go to Ephesians 4. And we'll turn to verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 17. He is speaking to church people who have come out of Diana of Ephesus and into the Church of God. They had to change their ways, their lifestyle, their guidelines, an awful lot to move away from Diana and other gods and goddesses in Ephesus into the Church of God. So he said, this I say, and I testify, that you should no longer live as the rest of the pagans or Gentiles or other people outside of the Church of God live. Now, this is not condemning anybody. It just says that apart from the Church of God and the truth of God, not knowing the laws of God, they live in the futility of their mind. And we who know God's law shouldn't live with futility of mind. He said they had their understanding darkened. They were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance. Now, that doesn't mean stupidity. It just means they didn't know. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, being past feelings, or calloused people, psychopaths, you might say, they've given themselves over to. And we probably don't realize the degree to which this is true in the United States and the world. Lewdness. Lewdness. To work all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. But he said, if you're a Christian, you don't learn that. Period. Not just during the days of unleavened bread, but period. If indeed you've heard and have been taught by Jesus Then verse 22, it says, put off concerning your former conduct, whatever it was, doesn't matter what it was, if we're sorry for it, and we ask God to forgive us, then it will be forgiven. And that's called the old man. That says put off. But you know, in trying to get rid of a habit sometimes, people try so hard to get rid of it, but they never get another one to put in its place that's better. We go back to the old one. The conduct of the old person, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So he said, put that off and then be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on a new man. So that shows a very valuable principle that a lot of people make a lot of money telling other people that if you want to get rid of a bad habit, you have to replace it with a good habit. So if you want to get rid of adultery, if you want to get rid of lying, if you want to get rid of all these other things, then you have to put a good habit in its place. And the best habit we could put in place with it is the Ten Commandments. Period. Put on this new person, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then in case they didn't understand what he was saying, they said, lying, if you're a liar, let each one speak truth. Verse 26, if you're an angry individual, you just like to get angry. You spout off and angry, and you get angry and hot-headed very quickly. He said, if you do, be careful you don't sin. And in verse 28, he talked about stealing. So he was talking to people in Ephesus who were now in the Church of God who had habits in the past. But now they're in a Church of God that follows the laws of God. And he said, if you did steal in the past, don't do it anymore. Because you know, if you get a reputation of being a thief, not many people are going to be wanting to have you in their home for supper when they see the nice things you have. Steal no longer, but rather labor, working with your own hands to what is good, so that you can have something to give somebody else that has need, rather than stealing from them. Then it talks about our language. No corrupt word proceed from your mouth, just good things. And above and beyond all of that, he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the Holy Spirit? It's an invisible thing that's attached to our human spirit. And it teaches us love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness. And the last of it is self-control. Then it talks about bitterness. Esau could never get over being embittered. He had reason to be bitter, but he had reason to be a part of it also, and he never got over that. He never did. And his descendants have never gotten over the bitterness. There are a lot of things that they should have gotten, but England stepped in and stopped it. Then it says, be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, he put the big daddy on all of us. He said, imitate God. That's the new person, the new habit that we have. Well, you know, that's a big job, what he gave them. That is a big, big, big job. And we need help. I need help. I still need help. We all need help, in a sense, to fulfill all of that. When I say we need help, we need favor of God. If a person likes you and you have their favor, they will not overlook, but they will put up with a lot because they like you and you've gained their favor. It is said that Noah found favor in God's sight, not just because God liked him, but Noah was a pretty good guy, and he didn't do what everybody else was doing around there. And so God granted favor to Noah. We all need favor from time to time. because we find ourselves in a situation that's hard to deal with in the case of Israel and their coming out of Egypt. Israel was not in step with the social and economic ways of Egypt. Or better yet, we'll say, Egypt was not in step with God's ways, the Ten Commandments. The holy days, the foods, the gods. Well, it's the same with us today. Christianity can be hard because of what we have to put up with in the land we live in and the way people live around us. But in a sense, it is not the fault of the people that live around us because they don't know. And so, we have been born into a society that is already set up. Religion. I don't care how old you are here today, there was a religion before you arrived. And it wasn't the religion you're a part of now, when I say the Church of God, not necessarily a religion. We're born into a society that's already set up, religious and holidays, work schedules. Well, I have to get off on the Sabbath to go to church. Well, we don't believe in the Sabbath, so if you leave, you're going to get fired. Oh, well, God's way is bad. It caused me to lose my job. No, God didn't cause us. The guy that owns the company, that's not going to do it. He's the one that said, get lost. So, in many ways, we find ourselves out of step with the society around us. In one sense, it's not their fault. They didn't know any different. The same is true of the Sabbath, the holy days, time off at school. We stick out like a sore thumb. And there's resentment and there's pressure on us. We need help in order to live God's way and not lose our job or not lose whatever. A friend we had in Arizona many years ago, hadn't been in the church all that long, he told him that he was going to have to leave the job he had and go to a feast. He'd be gone for a couple of weeks and then he'd be back. And they said, well, don't bother coming back. You go to that and you don't show up, you don't have a job. He went. And while he was gone, they lost a person or two. Things didn't go well. And he had been doing such a good job, he didn't ask if he could. He knew they told him you can't come back, but he went back anyway. Why, I don't know, but he went back anyway. And they were thrilled to death to see him there because he was a good worker. And they said, we're glad to have you back. That's something we in the Church of God need to remember, that we also need to do good things to gain favor, even with God. Maybe we need to fast to gain God's favor. It is a little tough. And we do need favor. We need help. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, it says a reason why we need to have favor. It's more than just the owner of the company you work for who says, don't bother to come back. Paul said to those in Ephesus who came out of Diana of Ephesus' religion, he said, we don't wrestle against human beings only, but we're working against principalities. We're working against some powers we may not even fully understand. We're working against the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we need favor, and that favor may be the next verse, he said, take on the whole armor of God. Maybe you need to trust God and use God's ways a little more. So it is true that, yes, we love God. But after we have kept the days of unleavened bread, we should not go back into blending into the world because there's a lot going on we don't want to be a part of in our heart. But we need favor in order to determine that I will be like God if He will help me. We need help. That's number two, why the days of unleavened bread are important. They point us toward the law of God, which obviously, if you look at the sentence, the law of God, you're dealing with God. So we have favor with God. That's the second one. Do I have time for another one? There is another one, and it's a little different. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse, which is it? Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are, and he lists quite a few things, meditate on these things. What he's talking about is we need to learn to improve ourselves. Yes, we do. Just coming into the church of God is not enough of and by itself. We have to work at it and improve ourselves. And in Colossians 3, it speaks a little more about this in verse chapter 3 and verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the earth. That doesn't mean we should give up things on the earth, but it says if God's way is the best and his laws are from him and they are the best, then he said, set your mind on those things that are good and right. You died. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then in verse, he lists some others in verse 8. Put off anger. Put off getting mad. Put off blasphemy. That is spouting off with filthy words. Filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie. And then in verse 10, put on the new person is renewed in knowledge or by having knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And he said, it doesn't matter whether you're Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, whether you're a slave or you're free. It depends on how you follow Christ's ways. Therefore, as the ones that God has elected and chosen, put on tender mercies, bearing with one another. And so it shows that we should be working on ourselves to improve ourselves. I've worked in the corporate world just a little before coming to Ambassador College. Those of you who work in the corporate corporate places realize this is true. Let's say the company you work for is beginning to fail, and it doesn't seem that much can be done about it. What did they begin to do first of all? Get rid of some workers that cost money. And who do they get rid of first? Who do they get rid of first? The ones that are not doing very well. That's who they get rid of first. So we represent God, who is perfect. And so maybe we need to improve ourselves to make sure that God will give us favor, that we won't lose out on everything. So we need to grow and improve. It said we are to imitate God. And in the corporate world, sometimes there is very heated competition against each other to make the other look bad and the one look good. And so competing to put the other out of business. We don't have to compete with other people. We have to compete with ourselves. We have to compete with ourselves in order to produce and become something of value. We have to become something that God can use. I don't know how much it is true, but when I grew up in the Church of God in the late 50s and early 60s, there was a lot of talk about, you know, often they would say in sermons, this is not a new religion. This is the best way of life. And it is. This is not a religion. it's looked on as religion and occult at times, but it's not true. We know it isn't true, but we have to live among those that think it is. But it is not a different religion or differing religion. This is the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the best laws that have ever been put on the market. And it teaches us the best way of life. Hence, 7 days of hardtack. 7 days of hardtack every year. The days of unleavened bread. Why unleavened? Leavening is a type of puffing up, egotism, arrogance, vanity, which leads to sin. So the 7 days of unleavened bread remind us again and again, year after year, that we put this out of our life, and then all year long after that, we implement these laws to make it work in our life.